We started this series a couple weeks ago about, can you help me with this? About do you hear what I hear? So we've been going through each of the stories of the Advent, preparing, when God was preparing his people for the arrival of Jesus, for the coming of Jesus. And because we still believe that God speaks to us today, but maybe not in the form of angels. I think he still can. I think God still speaks to us in the form of angels, but we don't see it very often, and it wasn't done very often even in the Bible. But we had four stories in front of us to prepare the people for the coming of Christ, and we've been using those to kind of signal to ourselves how we can know if God is speaking to us. So, do you hear what I hear? Are you hearing the same thing that I'm hearing God tell me? Do you hear it too? So, we've been going through each of those stories and pinpointing a couple things, and throughout the series, getting pieces of the puzzle put together to the extent that today, hopefully, we'll have a fuller picture of what it's like to hear from God and how we can know if God's talking to us. So just to recap real quick, Zechariah and Elizabeth was the first story that we had. Zechariah was a priest. He was serving in the temple. And an angel arrives and says, guess what? You're going to have a baby. And Zechariah was like, we can't because I'm too old. We're too old to do those things. We don't have that. Humans know that, after a certain age, you just don't have babies anymore unless it's a miracle. And so God was saying, you're going to have that. And one thing that we learned from that is that God pushes us towards faith, towards things, the harder road, so that we'll lean on him more than lean away from him, if that kind of makes sense. And then week two was about Mary. An angel came to visit Mary and says, you're going to have a baby. And she's like, how can that be? I'm too young, in a sense. I've not been with a man. I'm not even married. I haven't done those things. So he says, God's like, it's going to be a miracle. Nothing is impossible with God. And then last week we talked about Joseph. And Joseph says, guess what? The angel says to Joseph, guess what? You're going to have a baby. Well, not you specifically, but Mary is going to have a baby. And he's like, how can that be? Oh, wait, was she with somebody else? Because I know it wasn't me. And then so we learned what compassion looks like. So all those sermons are out there on the internets, if you want to go visit them there at engagenewark.com. But here's what we have so far. I want to put this on the screen for us of the picture of what it's like to hear from God. When God speaks, here's what these things kind of have to happen. One, it's an interruption in the normal flow of life. You're not going to be the same anymore after this because, hey, God's spoken to you. Secondly, it pushes us towards faith, not away from it. It's going to make us rely more on God, not less on God. Thirdly, you are or will be blessed. If God's speaking to you, you are blessed. And if that message comes out and truly is God, you'll be even more blessed if you live up to what God's telling you. Down here towards the bottom, it points you to Jesus. The message that God has for us will always point us towards Jesus, not away from Jesus. And guess what? The more we learn about Jesus and the more we hear from Jesus, he points us towards who? God. Then another point, I don't know what the numbers are. I should have numbered them. It is confirmed by others. Something somebody will say will be like, that's exactly what I've been hearing. And just random person will be like, yeah, you need to go to Haiti or whatever. Like, I've been thinking about that. Oh my gosh, wow. And then last week we learned about it's a call to compassion. God will never call us to severity. He won't call us to destroy others. He'll always call us towards compassion. So there's where we are so far in our series. So we're going to finish the series today. I'm going to give you a couple more pieces of the puzzle that will sort of round it out. By the end, maybe we'll have a pretty good picture here of what it's like to hear from God. So, but before we get into all that, those of you who are here around Halloween time, you might remember that I gave a message about Halloween, why we have Halloween and why that date was selected and, all the history behind it, and sort of to remind us that it's okay to dress up and have fun and get candy. There's nothing particularly evil about that. Gave you the history of that. And I said, just in passing, I said, if you think that was crazy or that was, you know, if you learned something, you should hear about Christmas and why we do Christmas on December 25th and why we do Easter when we do Easter. And people were like, yeah, do one like that. Let's hear about it. So I'm going to give you like not a whole sermon of that, but like 10 minutes hopefully of, don't set a timer, but hopefully of why December 25th. And so here we go. You want to hear that? Yes. All right, scripturally, Luke chapter 2, this is our passage. I don't remember who read it. They said, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. This is the number one reason why we know that Jesus was not born on December 25th. Number one, right there. I know this is upsetting to you, but sweet baby Jesus boy, 8 pounds, 9 ounces, can't even walk yet, was not born on December 25th. Gasp! Because shepherds did not stay out in the field watching their flocks by night in the winter. It was too cold. There was snow on the ground, perhaps, especially at higher elevations. They weren't keeping their flocks outside then. There wasn't much pasture field available, so they were all in. They weren't out. They were in. So if he wasn't born on December 25th, then when was Jesus born? So if you recall, where Luke, in Luke chapter 2, in that birth narrative of Jesus, you might recall that a census goes out, right? I wish I had the words in front of me. It says something about Quirinius. Quirinius was governor, and all the world should be taxed, or something like that, right? And if you remember Linus, you know, Linus is reading that story, and yeah, okay. So they would have chosen a time where most of the people would have been gathered already. And so probably during a festival of some sort, when people were already going back to their home territory, their home lands, their hometowns, or whatever. So one thought is that it could have been during the Passover celebration. But the Passover celebration was such an important festival that Luke would have definitely mentioned it. He would have said during the Passover season or festival. So he would have featured that prominently because Jesus died during the Passover festival, and it is featured very prominently at that point. So Luke would have likely chosen to feature it as well. The other possible time would have been late in the summer, which makes more sense why the shepherds would have been out in the fields watching their flocks by night. There was a Feast of Tabernacles. People would travel to their hometowns. They would stay in these tents or tabernacles, like to remember the journey that the Hebrew people had through the wilderness. They'd set up a tent. They'd sleep in it at night. So they would be mobile that way. And then this would explain also why there wasn't any room in the inn, because everybody was there. Some people were sleeping outside. It was just packed. So there was no room for Mary and Joseph, because everybody was on the move for the festival and for the census. And it would allow for the shepherds to be outside watching their flocks by night. By the way, while we're on the topic, so probably Jesus was born in like what we would call September, August, September, somewhere in there, later in the summer. But while we're on the topic, Jesus wasn't born in year zero either, all right? Not even 1 AD. In fact, so there was a mistake made in the calculations when they were just moving to the Julian calendar perhaps, and they were calculating when Jesus would have been born to do the, like the AD and BC, right? And turns out Jesus was born like between 2 and 7 BC. Definitely not zero. He was probably more likely 4 BC. So Jesus is older than what you think. But why did they choose December 25th? So why did we come around to get the date that we have chosen now? There's a couple streams of logic on that. December 25th was chosen because, hey, it's just a good time to have a party. Because winter sucks. You know, let's just have a party now because it's yucky. But think through like early European history, because now we're kind of moving into the Roman era and part of the world. They wouldn't have kept their cattle and their flocks all winter long. They would have slaughtered them all, so they wouldn't have to feed them through the winter, and they could feed on them. So let's kill the cows and have a feast, right? Let's use this and eat up. And all the wine that they'd put up all summer long was now finally fermented. Now we can really enjoy the fruits of our labors. Also, the winter solstice comes during this time frame. Last night was the longest night, wasn't it? Thank you, Jesus, that the days get longer starting now. Because we're headed into depression season, man. Like, oh yeah, you know what I'm talking about. It's going to be awful. So they would have a celebration to sort of celebrate spring is coming. It's hard for us to believe spring is coming because we're just getting started with winter. But the longest night has occurred. Now, the Romans, they celebrated a festival. The god of Saturn, Saturnalia, they called the festival. It was the 17th through, I have the 23rd, but, oh, yeah, yeah. They celebrated the Saturn god 17th through 23rd, and then on December 25th, they celebrated the birthday of the unconquered sun, S-U-N, all right? And there was a pagan god, the pagan sun god Mithra, whose holy day was on Sunday. He was the sun god, so his holy day was on Sunday. That's where we get the word Sunday, actually. Another group was celebrating at that time, too. The Jewish people celebrate 8 crazy nights of Hanukkah. You don't get the reference, okay. Celebrate Hanukkah. Okay. Scandinavia has the Yule Log Festival, right? They would have a large log, and they would burn that huge log, and then they would feast the entire time that the Yule log was going. If you ever wonder what a Yule log was, or Yuletide carols by a fire. Yeah, that's it, something like that. So that's the Yule thing. So all of these things, lots of celebrations going on that time of year. Even like Africans had Kwanzaa, right? So there's just like, they just decided, let's put one in here for us too. Early Christians, and still yet like Eastern Orthodox, celebrated on January 6th, where we celebrate actually Epiphany. Epiphany is where the wise men visited. Now, by the way, the wise men were not present in the manger scene. The wise men came like 2 or 3 years later, but it's not as cute to put a toddler in the manger scene, you know. So the shepherds and the wise men, they never met. They were never there all together at the same time. That's just an aside. Now, here's where the calendar itself gets technical. So the Roman calendar was started by Emperor Julius. It was flawed. So Pope Gregory the XIII, that'd be 13, came up with the Gregorian calendar in 1582. And at that point, because of the flaw of Julius, 10 days were lost. They had to make up for those inaccuracies. So at one point, boom, well, they just lost 10 days of the calendar, thus putting Christmas from January 5th, then they moved it to would have been December 26th or so, but they decided to put it on the 25th to compensate for the Mithra sun god birth celebration. Huh. Oh, okay. So there you go. December 25th, not actually Jesus' birthday, but as we said at Halloween, every day is as evil or as sacred as you want to make it. Now, I talk about Advent a lot because it's important to me, and I'd like it to be important to others as well, although if you don't, it's fine. But Advent came a little bit later because the early Christians were wanting something similar to Lent, a preparatory period. Lent is preparing for Easter. They wanted something Advent to prepare for Christmas. So they had a period of fasting and penance. And then a Christmas feast, which would last, get this, 12 days, the 12 days of Christmas. Somebody told me the other day, Dave, I know it's not Christmas, it's the season of Christmas. Like, no, the season of Christmas starts after. after Christmas and goes all the way to January when all of us have already taken our Christmas trees down. Anyway, so Advent simply means this, coming, coming. So we remember the first coming of Christ. And we remember the coming of Christ to our lives individually. And then finally, the second coming of Christ in the future when Jesus will return. All right, so that's why we do Advent. And probably I would like to do a series on an Advent series of the second coming, preparing ourselves for the second coming of Christ. We might do that someday. Okay, a couple other things. Christmas trees, they date back to Eastern Europe in the 1400s, but they were using evergreen branches during the Roman Saturnalia festival. Those were parts of their things. How about mistletoe? Mistletoe, how many of you have mistletoe hanging in your house? Hoping a little get some action there. I know you. The Druids started mistletoe to ward off the evil spirits, but later on, then mistletoe was thought to have some sort of mystical power for love and romance, so people started kissing under it. 12 days of Christmas, I already mentioned. So 12 days after Christmas, that goes up to Epiphany, January 6th. How about this one? Xmas. Xmas. You've all seen this. You've heard it. You've probably even said, don't use Xmas. It takes Christ out of Christmas. How many of you said that? But you're good Christians. I know you. I got news for you. It's wrong. That's wrong. It doesn't take Christ out of Christmas. The Greeks, here's a little lesson for you. I love this. That's supposed to blow your mind, okay? I'm so excited about this. I've been waiting for this day. Put it up there. The Greek, please put it up. Okay. The Greek for Christ, Christos, the CH sound is represented by the X, and that little P-looking thing is the R, and then the I, and then an S, and the T, and another kind of S. So the Greeks, the early Christians in the Greek, even in their writings, you can go back and look. I learned this in Greek class, okay? I didn't have to Google this, but I did to verify. In my Greek class, they told us, like the early Christians wouldn't even write Christos, they just write X, a big X to represent Christ. It was a shorthand, in fact. And I was like, well, that's brilliant. So in all my notes, you can look back in my college notes, it's X-I-A-N to represent Christian because it's just faster to write. So pagans did not take Christ out of Christmas. Christians put Christ in Christmas, and I give you permission to use X, and I do it all the time. All right. Mind blown? All right. One more. What about Santa Claus? Yeah. Santa Claus is real. You leave him alone. All right? All right. That's it. Okay. I'm done. So. Did you put a timer on that? It was longer than 10, wasn't it? So there's a little bit of history there. So let's come back. We've got the shepherds, they're abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and it was not December 24th. So we're going to keep moving in the passage, verse 9. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Here's what I want to add to our list of things where we know God's speaking to us. When God speaks, it's always good news. When God speaks, it's always good news. The angel delivered good news, and the good news was the Savior was about to be delivered. That's what he was delivering. The good news is that God had come into the world and became human to walk with us, Emmanuel, with us, to experience life with us. And here's the thing, that good news, it's for all people. It wasn't just for the Jews. It's not just for the people who became Christians. It's for all people. Now, I'm going to talk more on that in a few minutes, lest you think I'm a universalist. But the news is for all people. When God speaks, it's always good news, and it's meant for all people. And so a word to you from God is good news for all. Even if that word is hard to hear, or if that word from God isn't something you even want to hear. I remember my sister, she was being called to go to Thailand to be a missionary, or teach missionary children for 2 years. And she'd been praying and praying and praying for that word, or some kind of call similar to that. She knew she felt called, but she didn't have the right place to go. She's been waiting for that word to come and confirm in her life. And when she received that news, it was great news for her, but it was bad news for the rest of us. Because it meant Heather was going to be gone for 2 years in a faraway country where we had no idea where she was going, who she was going to be around, the people she was going to be with. Would she even be safe? Was she going to be able to eat the food? Like, what? We don't know anything about this place or these people. It was bad news for us, good news for her. And guess what? Really good news for the people she ministered to. It was really good news for them because they would receive whatever God was going to speak to her. The good news was good for all people, but sometimes the good news doesn't sound like good news to the rest of us that have to live it out. Now, after we wrapped our heads around it, we realized it was good news. Good news is good news even if it sounds bad to you specifically, like when God starts telling you that you need to quit hanging around certain people or quit associating or resolve some toxic relationships that are going to be hard. When God starts giving you the idea that you need to start or stop committing certain sins or walk away from these various temptations, it feels like bad news at that time. It's going to be hard. It's not good news. It's always good news for everybody, even if it's a private word for you that you would receive uniquely and specifically to yourself. See, God will speak to you individually and uniquely, but will be confirmed in other ways through other people. But the overall good news of your message is not just for you. You can't keep it to yourself. It's for everyone, even if you never say out loud exactly what it was. Even if you have a private word from God, the good news is now alive in you and should be seen in you, even if it's never heard explicitly. It should be transforming you, and we should be able to see that coming alive in you. Because you don't keep good news to yourself. Good news is meant for everybody. How many of you have seen Frozen 2? It's good? It's good? Would you recommend me to see it? In 3D especially. I want to see it in 3D, to be honest with you. I don't care about the story. I saw an ad for it in 3D. I was like, whoa, that's totally awesome. I got to see it. Okay, pretend I have young girls again. Like, we saw the first one when they were young. Now they think they're too old for it. And would you recommend me to take my kids to go see it? Yeah, it's good news. Come on, people. It's good news. You would share that and say, oh, it's a wonderful movie. You should go see it. Oh, this restaurant is fantastic. You should go eat there. Dave, you especially would like their peanut butter pie or whatever. The angel says that it's good news of great what? Joy. Joy is a bit deeper than happiness. Joy can carry you through a difficult time, even when the news is bad. Not everybody's super happy at Christmas. And you know what? They don't have to be super happy at Christmas. It's okay. Christmas can be a difficult time for some people. Their memories and triggers and some horrible things have happened to people at Christmas. It's not all snowflakes and holly and decorated cookies for some people. Christmas can be really hard. It's not happy for some folks. But joy can be found in the midst of sorrow of the Christmas season. Joy is deeper than an experiential happiness. Joy is found when we drive in to find the good news. Happiness, that's found in positive experiences and happy memories and like, happy, happy, joy is what we say, you know. Joy is deeper than just the experience of the moment. Joy can carry us when the good news doesn't sound so good. But here's the thing. You have to receive it. You have to experience the joy. Don't just observe others having it. Don't just deliver the good news to somebody else. You have to receive that joy and live into that joy. And to circle back, the joy of the good news of the Savior being born is meant for all people, but not everyone receives that particular joy. Everybody should receive it, but not everybody does. It's a choice to receive the good news of great joy that's meant for all people. And the good news is this, the angel said it best, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Quickly, this is the second thing for today. When God speaks, it will always bring glory to God, not you. Glory to God in the highest, not glory to Dave or anybody else. When God gives you a message, it's not for you to brag about or boast about, "Oh, look at me. Oh, I got a word from God." No. When God speaks, it's to bring glory to himself. And so the angels were bringing glory to God, not to themselves. And then suddenly they left. And this brings us to the final point from the story, and it's this: when God speaks, it will be as it was said. It will be as it was said. So the angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. No mention of those wise men, right? And then when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child from the angels. They said, "Wow, we just found you. They just told us. We just see, look, everything's jiving together." And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The shepherds, they go back to the field where they left the sheep. They're glorifying, praising God. They had just experienced all the things that had just been told them. It went down exactly as God said it was going to go down, or the angels said it was going to go down. If God is speaking to you, then whatever it is that he said he would do, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You might as well get on board. Just get on board now, because here we go. God said what God would do, God is going to do it. And I think most of the time God puts in our heart to want to do whatever God is telling us to do anyway. So we get to the point where like, "Oh boy, I don't want to do that." But by the end, like, "This is the thing I'm meant to do. I have to do this thing." So this is the last point of the series. With the Advent stories, and what we wanted to do was just put together a picture of how God is speaking to us. And so we've given 9 things from these passages. I'm going to put them on the screen, and if you want to jot them down, you can. I figure I'll make a book out of it and make $1 million one day. Isn't it great? Do you hear the kids? That's fantastic. It distracted me momentarily, but I love it. Like our children's program's gotten so big they have to use 2 rooms now, and like trade time around. So they're like literally right down there. And next time, let's close the door. So here's what we have. I mentioned most of these before. It's an interruption from the normal flow of life. It pushes us towards faith, not away from it. So when God speaks, you are or will be blessed. It points you to Jesus. It's confirmed by others. It's a call to compassion. And then today we looked at these. It's always good news. It will always bring glory to God. And it will be as it was said. But I have one more that I want to give you, because 9 is not a good number. 10 sells better if you're trying to write a book. which I'm not trying to write a book. This last one, I wish I had brought up last week because Matthew does this one over and over and over. And he said it multiple times in that passage we used for Joseph, as it was written, and then he quoted something from the Bible. Here's the thing, when God speaks to you, it will confirm Scripture. God's never going to tell you to do something that is against something that's already been said in His Word. God will always confirm Scripture. So, I really feel like God's telling me to steal this thing. Nope. He's not. Thou shalt not steal. It's written there right in the Bible. He won't go against His own Word. So, take a look at the list. I think it's about as well-rounded a list as you could find for determining if what you're hearing is really something that you're hearing from God. If you've ever asked the question, is God talking to me? Here you go. If you ever come to me and you've sat in these sermons, you say, God, Dave, I'm working on this issue. I don't know if God's talking to me. I will give you a link to where you can listen to all these. No, we'll talk about it. But I honestly, this all was generated from a standpoint of how do I hear or how do I know if what I hear is God talking to me? Here we go. On Tuesday, we're going to have another worship service in here at 6 p.m. It's going to be great. Full of like kids things and music and all these things. But what we're going to look at is Mary's response to all these things. It says she treasured all these things and she pondered them in her heart. So we're going to look at what is it in that story that we can treasure? Where is the treasure amongst all the noise that we have going on? Where is the treasure? So we hope that you'll come back Tuesday at 6. Come back next Sunday too, please. I know that's like National Skip Day, but we want you to be here if you can. Let's pray. God, thank you for speaking to us and then giving us ways that we can know that you're speaking to us, helping us to understand that you don't leave us just to figure it out, but you give us the opportunity to participate in knowing who you are and knowing that we can be spoken to, we can be encouraged, we can be blessed by what you do through us and in us. God, we thank you for the children that we can even hear right now. We thank you that they have loving teachers and loving parents that would help them be trained up in our faith and trained up in righteousness. Some of us didn't get that opportunity, so we thank you for that. And Lord, bless them this Christmas season and this time where they can experience the joy and the happiness and the celebrations. May we come alive by seeing that in them. May we see your fullness, your joy, even in the midst, if we're having a hard time, even in the midst of struggle and stress and pain and sorrow. God, be with us as we leave here today. Speak to us, speak in us, and speak through us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all this morning.